I disagree, as I think you expect. Just to point out, the NATO exercise, if it's that large, it must have been planned before the recent week. I mean, it's events, so it's probably been something in the works. We have these exercises all the time. The other acts, though, I know have been listed by Secretary Hagel and others as a response. It's not, though, as if NATO is about to counterattack and seize the Ukraine back, seize Crimea back for the Ukraine. I mean, these are moves because what you're seeing now is the Poles, the Czechs, the Latvians, and so on are coming to NATO and saying, "Well, you said you would defend Ukraine's territorial integrity. It's been violated. You didn't defend it. How do we know you'll defend us?" And so this is a way of reassuring them that, unlike Ukraine, these are actual NATO members. Ukraine, there was never a formal military commitment. There just was a commitment to maintain its territorial integrity. You're right. The status of Sevastopol and Crimea is complex. It's got a large, perhaps majority, ethnic Russian population. Russia, the previous government, the one that's been deposed, gave Russia extensive basing rights in Sevastopol. Russia could want to defend those facilities. However, there's no evidence that any of these facilities have been attacked. There's no evidence that there was any effort to affect Russia's basing rights and so on. So the intervention has been not justified so much as defense of the facilities as a Russian effort to respond to national concerns in the Crimea that some of the ethnic Russians will be persecuted by the new government, which Russia considers illegal. That could have been addressed, however, by many other means aside from sending Russian troops in there making demands that the Ukrainian forces stand down or disarm, surrender, and so on. What is more worrisome, and you haven't mentioned yet, is there's now a move to have a referendum in the Crimea about whether Crimea should leave Ukraine and join Russia. And they've announced that it'll take place in a couple weeks. The President
9 days.
Putin earlier said that was not Russia's goal. However, the head of the Russian parliament just said that they would respect the desires of the people.
They actually adopted the bill to that effect, and it's going to be happening in 9 days as we speak. Before I get your response to that, Jim Dean, let's take a quick time out and listen to some of the viewer comments, which I'm looking at them now. There are some good ones here. Let's take a listen.
For the 46 years of Cold War, America and Russia were deadly rivals, but they never fought. Their proxies fought: Korea, Vietnam, Central Americans, Israelis and Arabs. The one time that America and the Soviet forces almost went to war was during the Cuban Missile Crisis. Neither Obama nor Putin is crazy enough to want to repeat that. The European Union is on a suicide mission. If Russia cuts their gas supply, they are finished forever. Everyone is lying about Ukraine. Russia has invaded Crimea. The US has imposed sanctions. The UK does everything that the US tells it to. The EU probably will too. Vladimir Putin is still pretending he's only sent troops in to protect ethnic Russians. The West is still pretending it's fighting for democratic freedom. There is a bunch of neo-Nazis and oligarchs in the Ukrainian government in Kiev, and the Russians want the old guy back in. Everyone's lying because it's all about gas and oil from the Caspian Sea, and whether or not our big corporations get their hands on it or Russia's the state-owned Gazprom. There will be lots of hot air. Then things going to simmer down. The US needs to flex some muscle in order to save some face, and Russia understands it and will let Washington to posture and pontificate around a little.
Just some of the viewer comments there. Obviously, some of these viewers are pretty educated in terms of their knowledge. I think you'd agree with that, Jim Dean. But let's go to the Crimea situation. Practically 9 days from now, this referendum is going to be held. Russia has, in its parliament, the Russian Federation, that is, has reacted to it. They say they have introduced a bill now, these Russian MPs, to simplify the process of its accession. If that was to happen, which it seems like it's going to, what kind of reaction will we see from Ukraine and its Western partners?
Well, they'll do what they've been doing, is try to miscast it for what it really is. They know that these people, they don't want to have anything to do with a puppet government in the rest of the Ukraine. If they want to go with the West, they will kiss them goodbye and say, off we go. But as far as they're leaving the Ukraine, their position, which is what we agree with, is that the Ukraine's already left them. You have a Western-installed government that basically has decided to go that way to get an injection of new cash, and you have a bunch of hoods and criminals and gangsters in there. I mean, it's like a rogues gallery that was just instantly, accepted by the American government. So it's pretty easy for them to see that they're the ones that are under attack, and they don't want to be any part of it. So, and the funny thing, which I've been writing about this so-called invasion of Crimea, it's going to go down in the Guinness Book of World Records as the only invasion where no one was killed, no one was wounded, no one was put under arrest, and there were no hostages taken, and there was no property damage. So this is like a hysterical claim that there's been an invasion taking place, when really it was just a defensive move to make sure that none of the pro-Ukrainian forces could get control of major government facilities.
Exactly, the word invasion or occupation, that depending on the point of view of whom you're speaking to. But Richard Weitz, you said that we hadn't talked about Crimea. Here we are, and in 9 days, it appears, I'm going to ask you the same question. If they were to become part of the Russian Federation, what kind of reaction are we going to see first from Ukraine, and I'm assuming then Ukraine and its Western backers?
Yeah, I think you'll see reaction from both, but it's going to be different. I think that we have a precedent of this, of what happened with Georgia. As your viewers will recall, there was a war between Russia and Georgia in 2008. Russian forces occupied two separatist regions of Georgia, Abkhazia and South Ossetia. These areas declared independence and are now protected by Russian troops. Very few countries have recognized this independence, maybe four. This case, you'll see a little different. If that Crimea, instead of trying to establish a separate state, which wouldn't really be viable, it would actually just join Russia. And the rest of Ukraine will probably then orient much more closely to the West than it's been in the past. For the two decades, Ukraine has been trying to balance its ties east and west, because the elites are differ in where they want to go. Half of them or so wanted to move closer to Russia, half the west, and much of the country was divided. You had large ethnic groups, Russian ethnic groups, non-Russians, and they would orient in different ways. I suspect that if Russia annexes the Crimea, the remaining Ukrainians will want to move much closer to the West, at least initially, in reaction. Where I think you'll see a difference, though, is that the West will probably behave as it did with the Georgia crisis. End cooperation for a while, make a lot of declarations, maybe impose some sanctions. But over time, these will weaken as it becomes a fait accompli, as other interests, for example, Afghanistan, take over. So I think you're going to see a difference.
I'm sorry to jump in, Richard Weitz, because we just have another minute left. I apologize for breaking your sentence there. But Jim Dean, Richard Weitz compared it to the Georgia war, and we saw the U.S. obviously support for Kosovo. Is that a repeat, in a way, of what we're witnessing right now?
It is, in a way, where it's a very similar situation. The West was using Georgia as a proxy nation in terms of staging. And again, they were the ones that basically attacked the Russian enclave. And yet it was just so strange, because we had no military power that we could go in there to really confront. It was the Israelis took off about a day before the whole thing happened, because their intelligence told them that the Russians were just going to, once the attack was launched, they were just going to roll right over the Georgian army, which they did, and the U.S. had nothing they could do about it. So you're not going to see any shooting going on here in this Ukraine thing. You've got a huge mess with factionalism, and the West has done what they always wanted to do, is to break up Ukraine by destabilizing it, and they have destabilization plans going on.
I do apologize. We're unfortunately just out of time. Thank you very much. Let me thank our guest, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, Richard White's talking to us from Washington. You were just listening to the managing editor and columnist at Veterans Today, Jim Dean from Atlanta. Pleasure to have you both. Thank you so much for watching another edition of The Debate from Mikhail Tarveh and the entire team here in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.